Brought to you by the Cannabis Bee Network.
Here is the Cannabis Bee News with your host, Joe Jameson.
Hello, listeners. How's it going today? This is episode CBN 051, 830-2013, Cannabis and Marijuana Fridays. Oh yeah, baby, it's Friday. You all be safe out there. Remember, Cannabis Entrepreneur Show is running. I haven't started interviewing cannabis entrepreneurs yet, but I am bringing some sort of content every week. So if you're interested, go to CannabisEntrepreneur.com. All right, let's roll into article number one. Is marijuana legalization inevitable? I think so. Take it away.
Is marijuana legalization inevitable? By Alexandra Letellier. Source, LA Times. The Marijuana Policy Project recently surprised NASCAR fans with an ad pushing recreational marijuana use. The commercial not only mimicked a beer ad to point out the hypocrisy of legalizing alcohol and not marijuana, it also made a case for why marijuana is safer. If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about, says the narrator. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. In Colorado and Washington State, of course, voters passed laws in November legalizing marijuana for recreational use at the state level. Colorado and Washington have now dispensed with the eye-winking and adopted laws that are refreshingly honest, the Los Angeles Times editorial board wrote. But since these are not federal laws, it's not a marijuana free-for-all. In Tuesday's Column 1 article, Times reporter John M. Gliona introduced readers to bar owner Frankie Schnurr, a rebel with a for-profit cause, a seventh-grade education and entrepreneurial spirit. Thanks to his penchant for seeking out loopholes, he found a way to allow patrons to smoke pot on the second floor of his Frankie's Sports Bar and Grill. Business is up 40% and a lot of his customers aren't even there for the booze. Still, Schnurr's bar, which seems like the Marijuana Policy Project commercial come to life, is an exception. At least for now. In Wednesday's opinion pages, Peter Hakim and Cameron Combs discuss how Uruguay's new marijuana law may inform changes to U.S. drug policy. It is expected soon to be the only nation to legalize the cultivation, sale and use of marijuana on a national scale, they write of the Latin American country. Uruguay's courageous experiment, as Hakim and Combs describe it, isn't a sure thing. It's possible that it will backfire by, for instance, increasing marijuana use in the country. Their op-ed article lays out additional concerns too. Yet, Hakim and Combs are hopeful. Though President Obama has repeatedly argued against legalization, they believe that Washington will find it increasingly difficult to promote prohibition and strict enforcement in Latin America and elsewhere when its own citizens are pioneering a new course of toleration. Is it only a matter of time before marijuana goes mainstream?
Article number 2. State officials. DOJ has given tacit approval for legalized marijuana. Take it away.
State officials, DOJ has given tacit approval for legalized marijuana. By Dylan Scott. Source TPM, DC. Colorado officials say they believe they have tacit approval from the U.S. Justice Department to implement voter-approved laws legalizing marijuana. We seem to have tacit approval at this point, State Senator Pat Steadman, a Democrat who co-sponsored two bills establishing the state's regulations for recreational marijuana, told TPM in a phone interview Tuesday. Another source directly involved in conversations with Justice, who asked not to be named to speak freely about private discussions, agreed with that characterization. They're well aware of what we've been up to, the source told TPM. I do think that it's fair to say that we have their tacit approval at this point. The source stressed that Justice had not explicitly said that legalization would be allowed to continue. But the department has been routinely updated as the state has passed legislation and rules setting up a retail industry for marijuana and has not told state authorities to stop their implementation. Retail operations are scheduled to open in January under the new law. Since voters in Colorado and Washington approved marijuana legalization last November, officials have been waiting for the Justice Department to signal what it would do. The state laws directly contradict the Federal Controlled Substances Act, which outlaws marijuana and other narcotics for any use nationwide. There have been few public comments on the issue from the Justice Department, so the Colorado officials' statements are some of the first public indications of how the federal government will ultimately handle the issue. federal officials declined to comment. The department continues to review the initiatives in Washington and Colorado, Justice Department spokesperson Allison Price said in a statement to TPM. Both states have published tomes of regulations for retail sales and other rules for recreational marijuana over the last year. Officials in Washington state, which will begin accepting retail license applications in November, wouldn't go so far as to call the Justice Department's position tacit approval, but agreed that they had not been instructed to stop implementation. "They've not indicated that they're going to try to stop us," David Postman, a spokesman for Washington Governor Jay Inslee, told TPM in a phone interview. "We're operating as if this is a go, and we haven't been told otherwise." Officials in both states said that Justice Department officials have been primarily concerned with two issues in their discussions: preventing marijuana from crossing state lines and keeping it away from minors. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder said back in February that the Justice Department was in the last stages of reviewing the initiatives and guidance should be coming relatively soon. But there has been no further information from the department since then. Last December, after the legalization initiatives had been passed, President Obama told ABC News in an interview that prosecuting recreational marijuana users in states that had legalized it would not be a top priority for his administration. "We've got bigger fish to fry," Obama said. "It would not make sense for us to see a top priority as going after recreational users in states that have determined that it's legal." Legalization advocates have also taken the Justice Department's silence and the president's comments as an indication that legalization won't be stopped. "If they were really going to take action and stop states from implementing these laws, we would have heard about it by now," Dan Riffle, director of federal policies at the Marijuana Policy Project, told TPM. For the 18 states that have legalized marijuana for medical use only, the Justice Department has advised federal authorities not to interfere with people and businesses in compliance with state law. But that hasn't stopped federal authorities from conducting raids on medical marijuana operations that they allege are in violation of state and federal law, such as a series of raids in Washington state last month.
Article number 3, High Times. 6 of the New York mayoral candidates have smoked marijuana. Take it away.
High Times, 6 of the New York mayoral candidates have smoked marijuana. By Adam Edelman. Source, NY Daily News. More than half the candidates chasing the highest office in the city have gotten high themselves. At least 6 of the New York mayoral hopefuls have smoked marijuana, according to a recent survey conducted by the New York Observer's Politiker blog. Among them is City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, who has been the Democratic front-runner for much of the race. She has, her spokesman Mike Morey said. And she supports medical marijuana. Public advocate Bill de Blasio, who's been smoking in recent polls, has smoked weed, too. "He tried it in college, has not used it since," his spokesman Dan Levitin told The Observer. Even former city controller Bill Thompson used to party, according to his spokeswoman. But drug use isn't a partisan issue in this campaign, it turns out. Republican frontrunner Joe Lahoda has used pot before, his spokeswoman said, as has Doe Fund founder George McDonald. Independence Party candidate Adolfo Carrion, Jr. had his own high times, as well, his spokesman said. Not every single candidate has burned one down, however. Republican supermarket mogul John Katsimatidis never lit up, nor did Democratic candidate Sal Albanese. And current city controller John Liu, who on Wednesday called for the city to legalize medical marijuana and the possession of up to 1 ounce of weed, has never smoked marijuana either. A spokeswoman for Anthony Weiner did not answer the Observer's survey and did not respond to a request for comment. Whoever wins the race will be replacing a mayor who himself gleefully admitted to using the drug. Michael Bloomberg, in an interview conducted before he was elected, said he'd smoked ganja before and loved it. "You bet I did," he told New York Magazine in 2001. "And I enjoyed it."
Article number 4, Newt Gingrich talks cannabis and Christie. Take it away.
Newt Gingrich talks cannabis and Christie. By Elizabeth Brebelker. Source, Piers Morgan blog. On Thursday evening, Piers Morgan heated up the grill with one of his favorite guests, welcoming back former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. Having visited with Morgan nearly a dozen times, Gingrich's candor and insight have made him one of the host's favorite sparring partners, in the process helping to secure him his own hosting gig as part of CNN's upcoming Crossfire reboot. One night after Dr. Sanjay Gupta joined Morgan to discuss medical marijuana in advance of the re-air of his documentary Weed, the Piers Morgan live host asked Gingrich for a stance on the polarizing topic of pot. "I think you have to be very careful what you are describing," Gingrich began, and under what circumstances and if it's a rare unusual case, I think that's one thing. If it's the general legalization, I think that's a huge mistake. As the conversation turned to political leaders, Morgan asked the Crossfire co-host if he would support Chris Christie as a Republican presidential candidate come 2016. If he wins the nomination, I would enthusiastically support him. Gingrich started, before Morgan cut him off. The host explained he was asking whether Gingrich would support Christie as an initial candidate, not simply as the GOP nominee. No, I'm not going to support any one person. There are a number of great candidates that will run, said Gingrich, forever the politician. I certainly endorse the idea Chris Christie should consider running and that he would be a very formidable candidate and that he strengthens and broadens the Republican Party by representing a blue state. Watch the clip for more of Morgan's interview with Gingrich, and for the next edition of Piers Morgan Live.
Article number 5. No, teen marijuana use doesn't cause brain damage, but alcohol does. And alcohol kills people on ODs. Take it away.
No, teen marijuana use doesn't cause brain damage, but alcohol does. By McKinney Bryce. Source, Medical Daily. Perhaps in response to the legalization of marijuana in Colorado and Washington last month, more teens are lighting up than ever before. However, one study suggests that parents have less to fear from marijuana than from alcohol. The study found that while marijuana had no effect on the health of teenagers' brain tissue, alcohol did. The researchers, from the University of California, San Diego and the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, performed the study on 92 16 to 20-year-olds. The scientists scanned their brains both before and after an 18-month period. Over the course of the 18 months, half of the teens, who already had an extensive track record with alcohol and marijuana, continued their vices as they had before. The other half continued to abstain or drink a minimal amount, like they too had done before the study. In addition to the brain scans, the study also required a detailed toxicology report and substance use assessment. The teens also were interviewed every 6 months. Researchers did not check the teens' cognitive ability, but simply took brain scans. The researchers found that, after the year and a half was over, kids who had drank 5 or more alcoholic beverages twice a week had lost white brain matter. That means that they could have impaired memory, attention, and decision-making into adulthood. The teens that smoked marijuana on a regular basis had no such reduction. This damage occurs because brains continue to develop white matter well into adolescence and early adulthood. That brain tissue is integral to decision-making and self-control, which means that drinking alcohol could lead to further substance abuse problems in the future. Indeed, consistent studies have shown that alcohol is bad for teens' health. However, the effect that marijuana can have on growing brains has been far more inconsistent. In fact, two studies earlier this year linked marijuana with lower IQ scores and reduced white matter in the brain. However, Duncan Clark, a doctor who was unaffiliated with the study, said to the Huffington Post that previous studies simply administered brain scans one time. This study, on the other hand, which had administered brain scans both before and after substance use, can more accurately depict the effect that these substances have on the brain. In addition, researchers were better able to monitor differences in the adolescents' lives. Even still, other factors, like genetics or even the consumption of other drugs, could not be completely eliminated.
All right, that's all I have for this episode. We'll see you on Monday for Medical Marijuana Monday. So y'all have a good day, good night, great weekend. Bye-bye.
We pollinated your mind. Now, go pollinate the world.